So when I was 25, I found myself in a really difficult place. My father had suffered strokes and was recently diagnosed with the onset of progressive dementia. He had spent months in the hospital, and I completely committed myself to his care and acquired things like Medicare and a rehab facility, etc. So during this time, I had really just went a little crazy. I had quit my job to find something with more flexibility, so I was bartending. It was, you know, drinking quite a bit and just not in a healthy, positive place. So I really needed somewhere to pick up the pieces, to refocus, to give myself some direction. And my boyfriend at the time said, "How about you enlist?" And this sounded like a great idea. So I'm this little, you know, chubby kid that hadn't run the mile in years, had passed out in sixth grade when I attempted it. But this was a good idea. This is what I was going to do. So I went to the recruiter at the Air National Guard, and we talked about it. You want the military processing, and I'm in. I've signed the lines, and it's time to go. So at 25, I ship to Lackland Air Force Base, and I go through basic training. And it's a challenge. You know, they're tough, and they're preparing you for this hardcore, straight-laced military world that you are about to enter. So I get through there, and I am a model citizen. So I shipped off to Shepherd Air Force Base, located in Wichita Falls, Texas, which is without a doubt the armpit of Texas. There is nothing but a Buffalo Wild Wings, which actually has really terrible wings despite their name. And I go to the dorm. Now, I have decided to enter a male-dominated field. I am going into electrical and environmental aircraft systems. Why? There was a $20,000 bonus, and this is what I was going to do. So I go to the dorm, and there are 400 of us. And in this dorm, there are 400 people, 11 females, 6 of us are heterosexual. So I quickly learned about the Shepherd scale. You can have a hunchback, a unibrow, chlamydia, it doesn't matter. You are a hardcore 10. I'm a decent-looking gal, so I'm an 11, maybe a 12. So from this dorm, we start class. And we go into class, and immediately I see this guy, and he's hot. He's tall, he's handsome, just very, very cute. You know, he's in uniform, he's rocking the uniform. I'm ready for this. Looking at this guy, and I realize he's my age and has a couple more stripes than I do, and I'm not thinking a whole lot of it. But then our instructor comes in, and he tells us, "This is your class leader. He is, you know, prior enlisted. He had done the Navy, taken some time off, and he's back. So you are not allowed to fraternize with him. He is not your friend. He is your leader." Oh, okay. I accept it. Not happening. And then the other guys in the class, you know, the super mature 18 and 19-year-olds are saying, "Hey, you know, why don't you guys hook up? You know, you're obviously the same age, so obviously you should be hooking up." And he holds up his left hand and says, "Happily married, guys." And I'm like, this is out. Got these 18-year-olds, you know, I'm fine. I'm going to get through these 9 months with no problem. And we go through a couple weeks, and then I quickly realize that absolutely nobody gives a shit about this rule. We're all hanging out. We're partying. Military dirty secret, we like drugs and booze. Lots of drugs and booze. Now, not anything soft like marijuana that lingers in your system, but hardcore shit. You know, we're doing a lot of coke. We're doing a lot of ecstasy. We're drinking till we black out. One night that stands out in particular is we've all gone to Dallas, and we've gone to this place, the Lizard Lounge, but it's a Sunday, and on Sundays, thank you, Memorial Day, it becomes the church, which is a gay goth club. And we're in this club, and absolutely everybody's drinking water. There's no liquor being served because everybody is on tripping balls. And the middle America kids were pretty intimidated by this. "The good Lord does not intend me to see these things. Go sit in the car. We're doing this. We're partying. We're drinking." And everybody is just blended together. So this goes on, and the tension between, you know, tall, dark, and cute has increased, and we realize that we're really into each other. And one night, we're at a super cool bar called Denim and Diamonds, and we're standing in line for drinks. And this is where he swears I made the first move. I step back into him, and, you know, our bodies are closed. And this is when he realizes that he's got an in. So at the end of the night, we drive to base, absolutely three sheets to the wind. And like any responsible citizen, we park off a base because you can't drive onto a military base shit-faced drunk. And as we're walking in, he pushes me up against the wall and he kisses me. Now, I can remember two kisses in my life. My first kiss with a kid named Kevin on a family camping trip where our teeth hit and I said, I'm never doing this shit again. And this kiss. This was a to your toes, fireworks, earth-shattering kiss. The whole time I'm thinking, this person's married. This person has a kid. I mean, not right then, because obviously I was in the moment. But later, like when I'm reflecting, you know, coming down from everything, I'm thinking about this. And I'm not feeling great about that. My father cheated on my mother with her best friend. And this doesn't really feel that good. So the next morning is Exodus, which is when all the military returns home for Christmas, if they're able to. And we fly our separate ways. And he goes home. And I may or may not have sent him some pink pictures from the airport. But, you know, we're texting the whole time. He even at one point says, I'm home with my wife. I wish I was with you. You know, we're realizing this is going to be an affair. We're having an affair. So he comes back to Wichita Falls and I come back and that's it. You know, we are just all over the place. You know, we're doing it, guys. We're absolutely doing it at this point. We're having sex. We're, you know, getting freaky all over Texas and Oklahoma. And this goes on until May when we are going our separate ways. And at this point, you know, it's not just a sex fest. We're friends. I value this person. I care about this person. Actually, I'm in love with this person. And it's very, very mutual. We are just peas in a pod. And, you know, it's, we're going home now. He's going to Atlanta. I'm going to Baltimore. We're going back to our lives. I was going back to nothing. That boyfriend that had pushed me into the military, he found a new girlfriend on Craigslist. They've been married 2 years now. And I had obviously found other interest. And I am home. And I realize within a couple months that he's not leaving his wife, that these plans are not happening. He has a daughter and he's committed to her and that's where he's going to be. So I start my own relationship and I meet a guy that is very private and very independent and, you know, into his own life. And I'm the same way. And we start, you know, going out and we build a relationship and a friendship and we care about each other. And then we both realize, shit, we're getting old. We're in our 30s and both our mothers really want grandchildren. He's an only child. My brother happens to be gay. We're the only hope for grandchildren. So we have a daughter and then we have a son. And I'm crazy about my kids and I love my life and I love my home and I love my job. And I'm in this situation where I'm with somebody that I respect and appreciate and value. But in a lot of ways, it's polite indifference. We're doing this because we were ready for that next step and hadn't been able to make what, you know, a more conventional situation work. So we're life partners and we play off each other and we take care of our kids and, you know, the grocery shopping gets done. I wash and fold. He puts the clothes away. You know, it's working. It's a functional relationship. But I still talk to the guy from Shepherd every single day. Sometimes it's just stupid bullshit. Other times it's, when are we doing this? I'm miserable. Let's move on. Let's start our life. So even though I'm going through these motions and I have this family and we're really, really cute. And my kids are cute and we, you know, do everything the nuclear family is supposed to do. My heart is with this other guy. That's who I love and that's where I should be.